Welcome to the First Church Orlando podcast. Here you will find recordings of weekly sermons, devotions, interviews, and seminar recordings from the First United Methodist Church of Orlando. For more information about First Church Orlando, please visit our website at firstchurchorlando.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Our scripture reading today comes from the New Testament book of Acts, the second chapter. This is immediately following the Holy Spirit giving birth to the church and describing what the early church looked like in the first days and weeks and months. This is Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, "The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. A sense of awe came over everyone. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. All the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. The Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And Lord, we invite you to come and teach us today. We're many, many years past this story from Acts and the early church, and yet we want a piece of that. We want to experience that, that freshness, that newness, that power. So would your Spirit move among us today afresh, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of you probably have heard by now, I used to be in campus ministry. I was the United Methodist Campus Ministry of Florida State University, go Noles, from 2003 to 2014, 11 years. I loved being a campus minister. I loved being in the lives of students and having them in my life. I loved the campus environment. I loved everything about it. It was a great time of my life. Over those 11 years, our ministry grew pretty significantly. When I started, we had about 30 students. When I left in 2014, we had over 600 students involved. And then, of course, every year you're graduating students and taking in freshmen, so that represents a whole lot more students. One of our strategies for growing was emphasizing the importance of Christian community. Spiritual community. And community is just part of being a college student. It's just sort of synonymous with going to college. You inevitably are part of multiple communities on campus. If you live in a dormitory, that's one of your communities. As you get into your major, that becomes one of your communities. As you join clubs and organizations, or student government, or athletics, or the marching band, or fraternities, or sororities, those all become communities, and those become really important to people, strong kind of sources of relational connection. But none of those are necessarily inherently Christian or spiritual. That was our niche, and frankly, we did it pretty well until we didn't. All of a sudden, one year, everything seemed to change. I think it was the year 2012, it could have been 2011. We started the year really strong. Students arrived on campus in late August. The first kind of four worship services of the year, we had over 600 in attendance. We had more small groups and more students in small groups than ever before. I had a great group of leaders. It really looked like we were on top of our game. We were a well-oiled machine. We took the biggest group ever on a retreat just 1 month into school, and I thought, man, we're really getting it done. We're doing a great job. Then October came, midterms came, and all of a sudden, our attendance at everything plummeted. hadn't happened in all the years I had been there before, but that year all the new students just all of a sudden disappeared. I wondered if we had done something like terribly wrong that I didn't know about and nobody had told me. I wondered if there was another campus ministry on campus I didn't know about that was, you know, pulling them away and doing a better job. But I would go on campus and I would see the new students, and I'd say, hey, and they'd get so excited to see me and talk about our ministry. And I'd say, hey, I haven't seen you. Like, oh, I've been so busy. I don't know why all of a sudden in year 2012 students were busier than previous year, but apparently they were. So we became really curious. I mean, it became a challenge for us. Where did they go? Why aren't they coming? So we started asking, we started having conversations, and we figured something out. That class was the beginning of the first group of students who had grown up in church, but also had grown up playing travel sports on the weekends. Prior to that, for the most part, not everywhere, but prior to that, Sundays were kept sacred for church, for family, but that had begun to change. And so there was a growing number of students for whom it was normal to be a churchgoer when it was convenient, when there wasn't something else going on, when they didn't have another commitment. It was normal for them. They didn't know otherwise that the church was something you do sporadically, seasonally, if you will. Now, midterms passed, and I should add, I don't think midterms got harder that year. It was just normal when something else was going on to do that instead. When midterms passed, guess what? All of a sudden, our attendance started growing again. They started coming back. We started seeing them, but not quite as frequently. They didn't quite engage in the same way. And even, I would say, there was a higher level of attrition for folks that just didn't connect with us in the way they had before. It also became a challenge for us to figure out, what will they come to? How many should we expect? How many should we cook for? Because we never could really be sure. And by the way, that trend didn't just happen in campus ministry. It's also happened in a whole lot of churches. There used to be a time, and some of you will remember a time, where it was pretty normal that you went to church how often? The answer is weekly. Every Sunday used to be kind of the norm. And not only every Sunday, but it used to be a good part of Sunday. Folks on the average would come to church for Sunday school for all ages and fellowship and worship. And then folks would kind of get together and go to brunch after church together as families. And then in the afternoon, people might come back for disciple Bible study or evening Vespers worship. Anybody remember Vespers worship right here? Youth would come back for youth handbells and youth choir and youth dinner and youth group. And then after, we'd go out for youth activities. It used to be an all-day kind of thing. That's changed. There's a whole lot of us, and don't hear any judgment in this, but there's a whole lot of us that if we're here, it's kind of for an hour. Some of us stay longer. The band got here early. They get here early to get ready for us. We should thank them for that. Thank you. I know a lot of you attend Sunday school classes. That's wonderful. But we all know this, right? That for many of us, it's sort of a little bit less. It's not the whole day. It's a little bit less than that. And what used to be a weekly practice, and I'm talking about Christianity in general now. I'm not talking about just United Methodist or First United Methodist Church of Orlando. It's become increasingly common, instead of weekly, to be more like maybe monthly, give or take. Now, we've always had folks who came around Christmas and Easter or during crises and that sort of thing. That's always happened. But there's definitely been a shift. The church used to be a weekly thing, a place that I showed up weekly. It was kind of the way every week began to now. Not quite as often. Now, listen, I realize I'm kind of preaching to the proverbial choir, as they say. You're here, right? I get that. Thank you for your presence. I get also that I'm paid to be here every week, so you know maybe that kind of disqualifies me from this topic, but I want us to talk today about presence, the importance of presence, why being here is spiritually important, not just because the church needs you to be here, but because we, each of us, need to be here. Let me just ask. When you think back to on your life of how you've been involved in church, are you more involved today or were you before? Are you more present now or less present? Are you as active as you once were? Are your friends as present at church as they once were? If you have adult children, are they present in a church somewhere? Presence. That's the word we're using today, presence. And think about presence in other aspects of your life. How important is showing up to things in other parts of your life? Let me just give you some examples. I was talking about college earlier. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I wondered, anybody ever skip classes in college? Not present when the teacher took roll? Affect your grades at all? Affect your academic learning at all? Anybody have a job that you just couldn't seem to get there on time and you seemed to call in sick a lot because you just didn't want to be there? Have any impact on your career advancement in that place? Anybody ever join a gym with a goal of, losing weight and getting in shape and then going about once a month? Like, how'd that work for achieving your health goals? You get what I'm saying, right? Anybody ever tried dating someone when you had time, calling when it was convenient? How'd that work out? Ever try to learn a new hobby or achieve a new skill when you could fit it into your schedule? Have you mastered it yet? Right? I mean, all of these things, like if we want them to bear fruit, it's because we show up and do whatever it is, engage in the relationship, listen to the lecture, go to work and do our job, whatever the case may be. And if we're just being honest, if you're being honest with yourself, if you hear these questions, you're like, yeah, I'm not quite as present as I used to be, I'm not engaged in the same way I used to be, how has that affected your sense of connection to this place, your sense of connection to other people, your sense of connection with God? Presence. That's what we're talking about, word presence. I don't mean present with a T like you get on Christmas or your birthday. Presence as in our physical embodied presence in a place. Remember, we're talking this month about those commitments we make as United Methodists when we join to commit our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. So last week, Pastor Emily talked to us about praying. Today we're talking about just simply being present. And present is more than just attending, though that's a good place to start. We're talking about a full embodied presence, engaging in worship, engaging in service, engaging in fellowship. It's more than just kind of the passive attendance we have, like maybe sitting in a lecture or sitting in a movie theater or sitting at a concert. It's about participating, engaging, being part of. It's about being fully present in every way. I used the word earlier, community. Particularly Christian community. Christian community is people who've gathered for relationship around the presence of the risen Christ. When we talk about presence, we're talking about more than just sort of the sum of all of us individually being here. We're talking about how all of us being here together creates something greater than the individual part. It's about the loving relationships we create and sustain. It's about an awareness that uniquely when we are together, the Spirit is present and uniting us, even with people we don't necessarily know that well. It's about connection. It's about the strength and the comfort and the inspiration we get by being together. It's about learning together, growing together, serving together. It's about what can happen cumulatively, synergistically, when we bring all of our gifts and passions and realities together all in service to God. And it's the way that we live out community. Community is relational, and the Bible talks about relationships a lot, about loving each other, right? That's a relational word, about forgiving each other and being patient with each other and being generous with each other and comforting each other and encouraging and challenging each other, supporting each other during difficult times. And all of that, when we do it, witnesses to who we believe God is, because those are all qualities of God. Christians say that God is a Trinity, right? One God, but three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is a community of three. And the Bible says we're made in the image and likeness of God. And so when we experience community together, in a sense, we are embodying the image of God by being in relationship with one another. Cole Arthur Riley says, people talk about God as three distinct people in one. If that is true, it means the whole cosmos is predicated on diverse and holy community. And if we bear the image of God, that means we bear the image of a multitude. And that to bear the image of God, that to bear the image of God in its fullness, we need each other. We need each other. Peter Enns adds, a central way that I experience God is through other people. How we experience God is determined in no small measure by how we experience each other. Isn't it interesting that the way that God chose to save the world is through a person, Jesus. He came to be with us, to show us what it means to be loved in flesh. That's what community is all about. Episcopal Bishop Michael Curry says, God may be the source of love, but people, that's you, that's me, people are the vessels. Once you understand that, you also start to understand that connecting to the Holy Spirit isn't about what we say in our house of worship on Sunday. It's the community of love we create for ourselves and others. When that happens, God is there. That's what this is all about, is creating a community of love. That's why we're here. And by the way, that's what we read about in Acts 2, about the early church. Acts 2, the scripture I read earlier, is really about the church in its infancy. Just days earlier, Jesus had died and was resurrected. The disciples were waiting for further instruction, and all of a sudden on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is given, the church is born, and all of a sudden the movement grows from a few dozen followers of Jesus who had followed him in the flesh to now thousands of people. It grew just by explosive numbers, including folks who had never seen Jesus. And so they were just figuring this out. What does it mean to be followers of Jesus? What does it mean to be a Christian community? How did they, as ordinary people just like us, live into this new spiritual reality? Well, it gives us some clues. Acts 2, 42 through 47, the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. All the believers were united and shared everything. Every day they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. And the Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved. Did you catch the details? They were together a lot. They were together for teaching and for eating meals. They got together to share their possessions with others who had need. They met daily in the temple and in their houses, daily in the temple and their houses. They knew that there was strength in numbers. There was strength in doing their Christian life together. They literally were sharing life together. And as others noticed, it said the Lord added daily to the community. Biblical scholar Christine Pohl says, how we live together is the most persuasive sermon we'll ever get to preach. How we live together is the most persuasive sermon we'll ever get to preach. Acts is evidence that that was true then, and I think it's still true now. Presence. We're talking about presence, a commitment of presence. Presence, obviously, as I've already said, is more than just showing up, right? We know that. It's more than just passively finding a seat and just, you know, kind of taking what you receive. It's more than that. But friends, that ain't a bad place to start. Just getting in the door is a good place to start. I want to challenge all of us to make weekly presence here at church a commitment and a priority. I want to encourage you, put it in your calendar. Go ahead and take the rest of the year and mark out every Sunday morning as your first commitment. And this is going to be radical, what I'm about to say. When other opportunities come along, when other people say, are you available on Sunday morning? Parents, when activities arise for your kids on Sunday morning, you say, I'm sorry, I already have a commitment. I'm already scheduled for that day. Make this your priority, not the place we come when there's nothing else to do. And I want to say especially to parents, we teach our kids by our example. We teach our kids what's normal by our example. We teach our kids priority by our example. My college students learned it's normal to go to church sporadically. Who taught them that? Who made it okay? Is church, is our spirituality, is our faith in Christ a priority or not? Is our involvement in Christian community a priority for us or not? We all have to be absent on it. We all get sick. We all get opportunities for vacation. That's all good. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But when you have to be absent, don't let it be too long. Let me also just say a word about online worship, and I'm saying this for the folks that might be worshiping with us this morning. Online worship is one of the gifts I think we got from COVID. There weren't many, but it is one. We didn't do it before, then all of a sudden we had to, and now we still do. And I think it's a great gift for our homebound folks. It's a great gift for folks that are connected to our church but don't live in Central Florida and have stayed connected to us that way. I think it's a great gift to those who are checking us out. There may be some folks worshiping with us online who've never been to First Church yet, but they're just seeing, you know. What's it look like there? How does it feel? What are the sermons like? What's the music like? They're checking us. I think that's great. But friends, those of you who sometimes say, I'm just going to sleep in today and do it online, stay in my pajamas. For those who might be doing that this morning, online. I want to challenge you, don't do that. Come here. Be physically present. We need you to be physically present here. And I think you need to be physically present here. All of us can get in the shower and sing any song that we sang this morning or any hymn. We can sing as loud as we want in the shower. Maybe you do that or in the car. But I don't care how beautiful your voice is. Isn't it more beautiful when we do it together? Right? I hope that you pray the Lord's Prayer at home. I hope that you say the creeds from time to time as a reminder of what you believe. But isn't it more powerful when we all say those words together? Just the sound of it is reinforcing. All of us, I hope we do, read our Bible at home. We talked about that last week, some moments every morning to kind of connect with the Word. But what are you going to do when you get to that point, that part that you don't understand, that doesn't make sense? Who's going to help you wrestle with it? All of us are capable folks. We're probably capable of handling whatever challenges or crises come our way all by ourselves. But why do that when others would gladly come along and love you and support you and lift you up? On Sunday nights, there's a group of us that are studying a curriculum called The Disciples' Path. It was co-authored by Justin LaRosa, who preached for us a couple weeks ago, and our friend, who used to be an interim pastor here, Jim Harnish, will be preaching for us in a couple weeks. And he says, Jim writes, "There is no such thing as solitary Christianity. Being a follower of Jesus means being in community with other followers of Jesus. We can be religious or spiritual without the presence of other people, but we cannot be growing disciples of Jesus Christ without the encouragement, guidance, wisdom, and accountability of other disciples." I mean, here's the bottom line. To be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple, a student of Jesus, to be faithful to our commitments as United Methodists means to make presence a priority. Is presence a priority for you? Let's pray. And so, Lord, remind us of the value of togetherness. Remind us that as busy as we are, there are things that are more important. Remind us that we need the people that we're sitting next to and in front of and behind, even the stranger across the room. Remind us of what you did in that early church, the way your Spirit moved as they were present for each other. May your Spirit move in us in the same way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast and that you will listen again in the future. If you enjoyed today's message, we hope you'll subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform and share it with others on social media. For more information about First Church Orlando, please visit our website at firstchurchorlando.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If this podcast is a valuable resource to you, we invite you to give to this ministry by making a financial contribution at firstchurchorlando.org/give. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.